Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. One of the first questions that we discuss in catechism class, whether it be with the youth or with the adults, is what are the two great doctrines or teachings in the Bible? You might remember the answer from your own confirmation instruction. The two chief doctrines or teachings in Holy Scripture are law and gospel. The law, in its proper sense, is that word of God that tells us the things that we should do and the things that we should not do. The law demands in our very thoughts, words, and actions, even in our very nature, that we obey God's commandments. The law tells us very clearly the works that we should do that please God. And the law does promise many wonderful rewards when those works are done. But the law also threatens many severe punishments, even everlasting punishments, to those who fail to keep it. The gospel, on the other hand, is that word of God that does not speak of rewards or punishments based on your works, based on your obedience, but rather the gospel delivers to sinners an unconditional promise. Because the gospel is that word of God that calls us not to our works, but to faith, and faith alone. And what God has worked for us, namely that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, fulfilled the law and bore the sins of the world, that he paid the penalty for all our transgressions, and that in him and in him alone, not in our works, there is forgiveness of sins, life, and everlasting salvation. The gospel, properly speaking, does not call you to do something, but simply to receive. Receive salvation as a free gift of God. Now, the two questions that were asked in our gospel lesson this morning, the first asked by the lawyer, the second by Jesus, these two questions perfectly illustrate for us the proper distinction between law and gospel and why that distinction is so important for you as a Christian. So, to review, our text begins, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together." Now, just before this, the Apostle Matthew records that Jesus silenced the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, you may remember, were the Pharisees' chief political and religious rival at that time. They were a Jewish group that denied just about everything supernatural. They didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in a heaven, they certainly didn't believe in a resurrection of the dead. And so they present Jesus with a rather far-fetched scenario in order to discredit him, in order to mock his teachings. The story involved a widow who married a brother, and then that brother died, and then another brother, and another brother, all the way down, seven husbands, all brothers who had died. Wondering, well, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Again, they were not asking because they wanted to know. They were just ridiculing the doctrine of the resurrection of the body. But Jesus has no time for their impiety. He does not suffer their mockery. And so he answers, "Have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And so the Pharisees went away ashamed. The Sadducees went away ashamed. But the Pharisees, most likely because they wanted to prove themselves better than their rivals and succeed where the Sadducees failed, the Pharisees gathered together to take another crack at testing Jesus and causing him to stumble. They sent forward one of their own, a rabbi, a lawyer, to ask Jesus a very common question debated among the rabbis: which is the great commandment in the law? And certainly this was a question that was debated for centuries among the Jewish scholars. And while the lawyer was asking this question of Jesus to test him, to see if he could get him to stumble, nevertheless, it's a common question that many people ask honestly, for their own sake. Which is that great commandment? Which word of God do I especially need to follow when it comes to my obedience? What works do I need to focus on? Which implies the question, what works can I let slide? What do you want from me most of God, all God? What commandment do I need to hold most dear in order to earn your love? Again, these are common questions of the law across all mankind. Because all mankind by nature would seek to obtain salvation through works, efforts, sacrifices, disciplines, etc. We all want to know the answer to this question because by nature we all want to be saved according to what we do. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus teaches that if you ask a question of the law, you'll get an answer of the law in response. And so Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, with this answer, Jesus bypasses any commandments concerning external words or deeds, things that can be outwardly accomplished, and he goes right to the heart of the matter, really, as he says, right to the heart of the law and the prophets. Love. And is the attitude of your heart. The great commandment is to love God, and just like it, to love your neighbor. Love not just in part or even with most of your heart, but love God with everything you've got. All your heart, that is your will, you determine to love God and seek to follow him. And all your soul, that is your motion, your emotions, every feeling, every emotion, every movement in you is directed toward God. And with all your mind, all your knowledge and understanding and intellect is devoted to God. And having done that, Jesus says, you are to love your neighbor just as you love yourself. This is the full weight of the law's demands laid upon that lawyer, laid upon the Pharisees, laid upon all of us who would hear it. You would seek salvation according to the law. Love God with everything. Love your neighbor just as you love yourself. It would have been a lot easier if had Jesus just named one of the Ten Commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. Remember the Sabbath day. As we heard last Sunday, the Pharisees focused a lot on that one. But no. The law of God is not satisfied with your external actions, but rather it demands total obedience of heart, soul, and mind, body, and spirit. As Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, the commandment not to murder means that you should not get angry with your brother, or hate your brother, or call him a fool. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, means that you shall not look lustfully, or even think about someone in a lustful manner. Do not steal, do not covet. Jesus says, you should be willing to give everything you have to help others. And again, at the bottom of all of it must be love. You cannot fulfill the law grudgingly if you wish to fulfill that law. You cannot obey the law like a kid muttering under his breath as he cleans his room. Nor can you keep the law expecting something in return if you wish to fulfill the law in every way. You can't do what the law demands and expect there to be material blessings, the respect of others, or even just a warm, fuzzy feeling inside as a reward. No, the law must be kept selflessly. It must be kept with a cheerful heart. It must be kept with a total attitude of sacrifice and selflessness. And if not, even if you've kept the whole law of love but failed in one part, James writes in his epistle that you become guilty of all of it. Again, the law demands perfection, total perfection, inside and out, constantly, without fail even once. And that's why the natural opinion of the law, that it is the means by which we earn our salvation, will always leave sinners in despair. Because no matter how good you think you are, no matter how much you think you've done already, it's never enough. You've never done enough good works, and you've never been sincere enough in doing them. It leads to despair. Because when the law is broken, it's not content to slap you on the wrist, but rather it will damn you to hell for eternity. No, there is no comfort or peace to be found in the law, in what God demands of you. And very many people, even many Christians, try to find it there. They try to find their assurance of salvation in their works, in the things they've done, in the things they haven't done. But the law is not satisfied with your best efforts. The law is not satisfied with trying. God is not satisfied, according to the law, with your best efforts or your trying. Now, the problem is not the law. Let's be clear about that. The law comes from God, and therefore it is good and wise. The problem is us. The problem is sinners. The problem is human beings. We cannot keep the law. We transgress it. We break it. And when the law comes face to face with sinners who transgress it and break it, the law brings condemnation. The law strikes sinners down and kills them. But, as we heard, God is satisfied. God is well pleased with you. Not because of your own works or merits or efforts, but because of Jesus' works and efforts and merits for you. God is well pleased with you for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who bore the law on your behalf, who paid the punishments demanded of the law for you. This is that other chief doctrine, that other chief teaching for you. You sinners who find yourself dead in your trespasses and find no life in the law. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you, who has satisfied the wrath of God, who gives to you freely and abundantly life and salvation. God is holy, yes, but God is also gracious and merciful. He who instructed, as we heard, Israel to fear him and walk in all his ways, to serve him and keep his commandments and statutes, also set his love on them and on their fathers. God in love chose them to be his people. God in love chose them to call them into fellowship by that word of the gospel. God in love provides for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the sojourner. God in love declares, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. In love, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And therefore, in love, God is your true and dear Father. For Christ has made you alive through that word of the gospel, the good news of what he's done for you. And this is the word that Jesus speaks to the Pharisees in our gospel lesson today. It's no accident or coincidence that Jesus' question follows the lawyer's question. The Pharisees, they were focused only on themselves, what they could and should be doing to earn their way into heaven. But Jesus, in love even for them, takes this opportunity to reorder their thinking, to correct their understanding of the Word of God. They asked Jesus a question of the law, and they got an answer of the law in return. But then Jesus asks of them a question of the gospel. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The answer is that precious gospel. He is David's son, yes, but he is also David's Lord. He is true man, yes, but he is also true God. Christ, the Messiah, he came to earth not as David's son alone, not solely flesh and blood man, to set up some earthly kingdom, a restored kingdom of Israel, Well, for the Christ came as David's Lord. He came the only begotten Son of God. He came the same God who long ago set his heart in love on Israel's father and chose their offspring after them. Upon hearing the word of the law, upon hearing, "Do this and you shall live," sinners ought to respond in repentance. "I can't. I can't do it. I can't love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I can't love my neighbor as myself. I haven't. I have not done it. I have sinned, and I deserve punishment." But one man did. One man kept the law. Christ Jesus. Fully man, David's son, fully God, David's Lord. He kept the law again for you. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength in your place. He loved his neighbor, yes, you, as himself, which led to his death on the cross for you. In love for you, he took your sins upon himself. He took your punishment upon himself so that sinners like you, me, Pharisees, even the whole world, would be declared by God righteous in his sight, that is free from the condemnation of the law. Jesus teaches this morning when the law brings us to confess that we cannot do what it demands of us, then we must cling to the gospel and the gospel alone. That good news that the demands of the law have been fulfilled perfectly for us by Jesus. Truly, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. But a resurrection can only happen once someone has died. We were once dead in our trespasses, and the law has brought us to recognize ourselves to be such. But through the word of the gospel, we have been raised to new life. We are forgiven. Whatever sins you have committed in the past are gone. Jesus took them upon himself and paid the penalty for those sins on the cross. In return, he has given you his righteousness and the reward of heaven as a free gift. He has created in you a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within you, that you might walk in newness of life, having been united with him in a resurrection like his. Even a new heart and a new spirit that loves God and loves your neighbor. And as a new creation, Christ promises to sustain you in the end in this righteousness, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God truly is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In this fellowship, through the word of the gospel, you have been called to be saints, together with all those who in every time and place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text concludes this morning. No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. The law makes every mouth stopped. The law brings every excuse to silence. But the gospel brings quietness and peace as well. The gospel brings us to silence, not because of shame or ignorance like the Pharisees, no. But rather because of assurance and peace and certain hope. When the word of the gospel comes, just as it does in the service, again and again, in the absolution, in the scripture lessons, in the preaching, in the Lord's Supper, there's nothing left to be said except for amen, the word of confidence and the word of peace. When the gospel is proclaimed, and when it is received in faith, no one answers a word, no one asks any more questions, because faith rests confident and secure at peace in the promises of God, which never fail. Indeed, this is our assurance. This is our strength. This is our steadfast foundation. The gospel, Jesus, his cross and resurrection. And therefore, we have confidence that he will truly strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.